Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Welcome to CUTV News Radio. This is your host, Jim Masters. A pleasure to have you with us today, live worldwide on CUTV News Radio, a service of the award-winning CUTV News. Again, Jim Masters here once again with you. It is Monday, and it is 1 p.m. Eastern at the time of this broadcast. It's September 25th, 2017. Now, our broadcasts are also not only live on the air worldwide on CUTV News Radio, but they're also archived, so you'll have an opportunity to hear the shows again. And in case you missed something or you want to hear it again, or perhaps you'd like to share our broadcasts and episodes with your family, your friends, associates, colleagues, folks that you think might really enjoy the broadcast series and the episodes and our very special guests we have on CUTV News Radio, you can find, of course, the episodes on our websites, as well as on iTunes and on Stitcher. Thanks for joining us once again. We are continuing our terrific conversation like we had last week, Monday, around the same time, with somebody who was originally a playwright and somebody who's adapted her plays into short stories and has published them all, and somebody who is an acclaimed author as well, and somebody who is just an all-around, very special, and very passionate and enthusiastic person. Her name is Annie Jones Holmes, acclaimed author of Beneath the Willow, a collection of short stories, as well as his sequel as well, Willows Under Trial, which we're going to focus on today's episode, part two of our series with Annie. Last week, we had an opportunity to really talk in depth about the first book. Matter of fact, so many people, there was such great feedback about our first interview together last week that many people contacted Annie. They loved the show we did together in the interview, and also several of the books were purchased from some of our listeners who were very excited to hear the interview, to learn about Annie, and also about these incredible, incredible books. As we said, writing isn't just putting words on paper. It's about reaching out to people, inspiring and encouraging them through the words. A great story can offer an immersive experience where the reader observes the drama unfolding like they're a character in the same room. You can hear the sounds. You can smell the scents. You're absorbing the story through all your senses. That's what makes it real. First published in 2015, Beneath the Willow, follows the lives of residents of Willow Bend, as we discussed last week on the show, a settlement of people who really had left a sharecropper's farm in postbellum era. Really fantastic. It's a historical fiction with a realistic concept. It deals with the issues that happened during that postbellum era. They endured many hardships with humor, as well as attempting to deal with the grievance of the situation. As I mentioned, originally a playwright, Annie adapted the plays into the short stories, which were collected in Beneath the Willow. Now, on today's show, we're going to delve in even deeper, talking more about Annie's writing approach and her experience, but also Willows Under Trial, which is based on her 27 years working in an Alabama court. Really, really incredible book. So let's welcome back to our show Annie Jones Holmes. Annie, thank you so very much for joining us here live on CUTV News Radio. It's a real pleasure to have you back with us this Monday. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim, and thank you for having me back. It's a great opportunity, and I'm thankful for it. Glad to talk to you again.
Same here, same here, and it's our pleasure and honor to provide the platform for you as well as a special guest of the show and as a friend of our show. Let's talk about Willows Under Trial. The book came out about maybe 7 months ago. Tell us a little bit about it and what's the response been like so far. As I said, I know in the in the beginning part of my introduction, I mentioned that it's based on your 27 years of working in an Alabama court. Tell us about that and how that led to the creation of the book.
It's a great beginning because it was a place that I had to call home when I worked in the courts, because I was there at least 8 hours per day and able to interact with people. So it gave me ideas of how the court is run. I could go back and do the research because I put it in the era of the Willows, which is postbellum. But it gave me some insight on how to carry out a court scene. And I enjoy this. I enjoyed the work that I did because working in the courts helps you to settle the minds of people. They are nervous when they come into court. They are anxious. Sometimes they came into my office and they would talk before court would start. So I had a chance to interact with people. And most times it was me that came to the conclusion of what the court would be like and how they would be able to understand what was going on. That was my job. I enjoyed that.
Absolutely. So then when you decided that you wanted to really compile this, what was your initial thought? What was that like, the writing process, to be able to put this all together in text form? Tell us a little bit about that transition from doing the work to then actually having a book that touches upon it.
I looked at the people that I worked with, and the idea came to me that just as these people in modern day had trials, had different troubles and disagreements, they had them back then. So I took it and compiled it into stories about my settlement of the Willows. I took those thoughts and created trials. And I'm talking about court trials and, of course, the trial of trying to resolve whatever problem it was in court. So that's how I came about putting these court scenes together. And then my creative mind, once I began to write, it is no problem. I just begin to write, and there it is flying across the page. And it helps to be educated on what you do in court. But a lot of it, I try to be a little unorthodox with it by making it funny. And there are funny things that happen in court. It's not all serious. There are things that happen, and it makes you laugh. You can't laugh out in court. Some people do. But this is the way I made it for the people when they read it. Made it really funny.
And you
they
like
had
to
the problem,
use
but I,
humor.
Yes,
you really like
yes.
to use humor. It lightens the load. What are some of the reasons why? You were chatting with me before we went live about some of the reasons why humor for you is very, very important.
It's important because it enlightens the heart. They may be sad and downtrodden, and once they see something that makes them laugh, that warms their heart, it encourages and inspires people. Like I said last week, my main thing is to work with people, their interactions, the way of life. I tell them that when I do dramas, drama is a way of life. All of the things that you see in drama, somebody has experienced this in reality. So when I bring my drama to the stage, it's about life. We just did a thing called Wearing That Hat, where we explored the different situations where you would run into various trials when you are living your everyday life. You have so many various things that happen. So I took that and put it into play form. And that's what I do. I do things that are real. Even though it's fictional, I make it real. Because I want to delve into the heart and the spirit of people, help them to be enlightened, encourage them. And a lot of times people are disappointed, and they'll lift it up when they see a good dramatic display. So that's how I came about doing Willows Under Trial. I took all of the trials of the Willows, and I brought them into the book. If they had disagreements, I brought that into the book.
What do you think, Annie, are the advantages for you of being a writer in a small town? What do you learn about people when you're living in a smaller town? Is there anything different, a different perspective that you get by being in a smaller town as a writer?
The only difference in a smaller town is that you may have a smaller venue of people. But no matter what size, people are still the same. You may find the same reactions in a small town that you would in a large metropolitan city. In other words, people think, and there are different thoughts. And these different thoughts sometimes come out into the open, and you are able to see it, and then you can reveal it in the writing. You can place it up on the pages. You can put it before the people on the stage. But what they are really looking at is life. Drama is a way of life. And so are the books. It's a way of life.
Absolutely. Now, if you say, you know, the feedback in terms of this book has been really, really wonderful. Tell us a little bit about that, because it's really exciting, I'm sure, as a writer, when you do get actual feedback, when you get comments, when people really, really soak up material and they're influenced by it, moved by it. What is some of the feedback you have been getting to that book so far?
Some of the people have said to me that it feels just like I'm right there in that town. They say that they can see those people walking along. They can see the dogs barking. They can see the children playing. And back then, when children played, they played with anything that they could find. An old stick, tossed it from one to the other. They ran along the riverbanks. And people tell me, I can see that. I can see it so plain. I like that. I like being able to put people in a different place, to give them an adventure, and especially to go back in history. These are things that we don't look at every day, so we get a chance to experience something new, even though it's history. Some people have never seen the likes of it. Some people have not heard about it. So when they read it, it's exciting to them. And that's what I do. I go back, because you see modern day every day, but you don't experience history every day. This is something new to people, even though it's old history.
That's right. What's old is new again, too, when it's shared, when it's resurrected or rebooted. I think it's really fantastic. And it could be immersive for people as well. Obviously, especially going back to the small town idea, you can start, you can see the store, you can kind of get a layout of where people live in relation to other people, I guess where the roads are, where the stores are. And then there's sometimes not a lot of people, so it's a small place, and you can kind of feel like you're citizens of a community, you're a resident, and you're kind of just really observing and watching everything, right?
That's correct. It's the same as the story about Rosella Nosebloom, I named her. Some people said I should have said Nosy Bloom, because I spelled it N-O-Z-E-B-L-U-M-E. It has the... but it's Nosebloom. So she's the busy bee, as they call her, flying around the willows into every bush and every bloom. So she comes into the grocery store, and she sees her friends and neighbors, and she begins to flap that tongue. And her friends are standing there, and the lady says, "Oh, look out, here comes that nosy woman again." She said, "Hello, nosy." "Oh, I mean Rosie. She said, "Don't you ruffle my feathers today, May Liza. I bet you want to hear what I had to say." And the woman says, "There she goes again." And she laughed. We must admit that if Rosie does speak about it, whatever it may be, there's a bee in the bonnet someplace. And she laughed. So these are the things that I write. I make them humorous. It's not good to gossip. We know that. But you enlighten people by putting it in a humorous way, and then you bring the point across about it not being good and the consequences of it.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Exactly. That's how it all comes together. Now, there's a science fiction sort of aspect to some of this. It's more like magic realism, like Toni Morrison and Gloria Naylor. Tell us a bit about that, how that comes in.
Yeah, because if you think about it, now Rosie is always sneaking around, whether it's night or day. So wouldn't it be something if that character Jason came out of the woods while she's sneaking around? Just think about that. It would scare Rosie, and she would wonder, what in the world, did I see it? Or did I think it? Or did I dream it? So there is, in the mind, you create whatever scenario you would like. You think about it different. I present it one way, but people can look at it and think of it in another way. In other words, it's good for their imagination. I may think of Rosie as nosy, but they may think of her, as she said, putting her bag of facts and getting it straight.
That's an interesting way to really think about it. Now, it's kind of like, it's the kind of thing where the short stories kind of even bleed into each other, wouldn't you say? Like a character story will reappear in another one, but just as like a background figure would as well, right?
They do, because it's about the same settlement, and it may be a different person in the next story, but the ones from the last story are still relatives or neighbors or friends of this next character. I let all of the characters go into one, because you have these four estates. You have Willow Grove, Willow Estates, Willow Bend, and Willow Creek. So each one of them have people there, and it is interacting with every single settlement. And they all know one another. No settlement is too far that they can't travel to one direction, which is Willow Bend. It's where everything happens. We even had the case of the guy that started the Speakeasy Club in Willow Bend. And when he started that club, they objected to it because they thought it was a bad influence on the young people. So they petitioned the courts to get him out of Willow Bend. But in the process, they became friends with him because somebody from another state came in and tried to railroad him into doing what they wanted him to do with the club. So it ended up with those neighbors that really were squawking about him putting that club there being for him.
How would you describe your writing style, Annie? I know that you love doing it. As I mentioned, you're originally a playwright, and we talked a little bit last week about whether or not everything retains its power when it's taken off the stage and then placed on the page, and why short stories, like you did, of course, with the first book. How do you describe your writing style, and do you crave or have a thirst for material that isn't just for entertainment purposes or to pass the time, but stories and material where you actually make an impact? You get people to think, to look within, to maybe have a different approach or a different perspective on life. Are you hoping to have that kind of an impact with each of your books and all of your material that you do versus just having it for entertainment purposes? Is there much more of a deeper reason why you do the stories that you do and pick the ones that you pick, the topics?
Yes, it's more to it than that. As I said before, it's about enlightening people. Situations that come about in your life when you read these books and you see the different trials that these people have, it gives you pause. You think, what if that was my situation? What would I do if my neighbor was always in my business? How would I handle that? Would I walk away? Would I ignore her? Or would I decide that I want to petition the court and say that she's scandalizing my name? So it gives people a different thought process, especially when you get to the consequences. What would it be? See, Rosie ended up in a petition of the court, and she had to come to grips with the fact that she was causing chaos in the community. So the judge had to get her to see this. When she is testifying into court and turning everybody's testimony around, she has to think about that. I'm causing problems. So it made her think. It made her think different. Not just trying to cause problems for her neighbor with her tornado of a tongue, but think differently about, if it was me, what would I do? And that's what I try to relay to my audience, whether reading or on the stage.
How much would you say of what you've written in these books and the lessons learned and the perspectives and the examples can really be related to our society today, could almost mask or mimic some of the things that we're dealing with in our own society in real life today? How much are your stories, really, your books, a mirror image almost of the things that we're going through even today?
It is the same type picture in a different scenario. These people lived in the 40s, in the 1800s, 1930s, but really it's similarity to how we live today. We have mistakes today. We make mistakes. Some of us suffer the consequences. And it's the same with these characters. When they look at these characters, they say, oh, it was back then, but it is now. It's the same situations, only in a different era.
Absolutely. Are there plans for a third book as well, Annie?
Yes, it is. I'm in the process of writing a third book now, and it's called Twisted Willow Storms. And that is about the storms of the weather, but it's also how these people handle the storms when they come along, the consequences of those storms. Whether it's a storm cloud in the sky or whether it's a person steaming down the street and they're upset with someone. I have all of that in this third book, The Storms, which means the weather and the storms within the head. So I'm trying to really explore how they will coincide, how they will react, how people react once those storms are there. And if you are storming in your head and a storm from the weather comes along, will you still be angry with that person that you just left, or will you turn around and help them? It gets pretty heavy.
And it's very relatable, like you were saying, to some of the things we've been experiencing recently with Hurricane Irma, Hurricane Harvey, and Maria, and Hurricane Josh, and earthquakes in Mexico, and these things that are going on where the earth seems to be a little, and Mother Nature seems to be a little irritated and angry at the moment, and responding, maybe even giving us a few messages, shaking things up to say, look, you know, let's all sort of come together here, and thrusting these situations at us where we are forced to come together to survive, to help one another, to rescue each other. It's a shame sometimes that it takes those types of storms and events for that to happen. But it's amazing that Twisted Willow Storms that you're currently working on is about storms of the weather, but also storms of life and how these people go through what they do, about that devastating tornado that went through that town of Willows and just turns everything upside down from the buildings to the people, and how people react to it, their personalities, and how they deal with the storms themselves in the aftermath, but then how they deal with each other. I think that is truly amazing. I want to let people know that the books are available. We're talking about the two books already, Beneath the Willow, which has been incredibly well received. And after our show last weekend, again, or last Monday, there was an extraordinary response. And, of course, the book we're talking about today, Willows Under Trial. Now, both of those are available at Amazon.com. We highly recommend you get them. They're amazing reads. You can also learn more about our very special guest, author Annie Jones Holmes, by going to her website, which is www.annie, and that's A-N-N-I-E, so it's Annie Jones Holmes, that's H-O-L-M-E-S.com. Fabulous website all about Annie, her work, and of course, stay tuned for that upcoming book, which is still a work in progress, but that'll be Twisted Willow Storms. How about a novel? Do you think you'd ever do a novel, a long-form novel, or do you prefer the short stories, Annie?
I wouldn't say that cannot come about, but right now I like doing the short stories because I have so many of them. Like I said, I started back in 92 doing plays. I have so many of those plays, and I'm trying to compile them into the short stories. And it takes a little effort, it takes a little work in order to get them together, because it takes a different form when you put it into short stories. Yes.
Absolutely. Well, Annie, it was a real honor and pleasure having you with us as a guest on our show last week and this week. We wish you continued success, and we wish you the very best with both books and, of course, the third book that's coming. Again, we encourage folks to go to the website, to AnnieJonesHolmes.com, as well as to Amazon.com to find out more about the books. Thanks for joining us, Annie. It was a pleasure. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I did.
Thank you so much. It was a great opportunity.
It was our pleasure. Well, thank you for joining us, everybody. I'm your host, Jim Masters, CU TV News Radio. For all of us here, thank you for listening, and have a terrific day.
You've been listening to CUTV News Radio. If you want to learn more about our programming or perhaps be considered for a future show, visit us on the web at www.cutvnews.com. And if you enjoyed listening to today's show, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher and be sure to write a review. Thanks for listening, and from all of us at CUTV News Radio, we hope you have a productive and inspired day.